And good evening. It is great to be back with you in lovely San Angelo, Texas. I'm really honored to be here on a really exciting day here at Southgate. May God richly bless you for your generosity, for your passion, for people who don't know Jesus all around the world. God has that passion, and you are just like God when you show that passion and your generosity like you have today. At EEM, I just want you to know, speaking on behalf of EEM, we are honored and very humbled to partner with you and to have you partner with us. So I'll just start out by saying thank you. Thank you. And on behalf of all those who will be blessed and supported by your work today, I'll say thank you on behalf of all of them. It means more than I could possibly put into words. Thank you. Also want you to know, thanks to my good brother that prayed, that we have some good news tonight. Your prayer is going to be answered, my friend. We have good news. I have good news tonight. I'm here on behalf of EEM, and I have good news to share with you. It's every 2 weeks we have a conference call, all of the regional directors like myself, and every 2 weeks it's something else. We can't wait for the conference call. And I have stuff to share with you tonight that you're the second audience to hear. So here we go. Are you excited? Are you ready? And I left my remote. You know, that's one of the keys to life is control of the remote. All right, you guys know about EEM and who we are and what we do. We get Bibles to people that don't have Bibles and don't have a way to get them. And it all started in 1961, trying to get Bibles across the Iron Curtain to the nations in Eastern Europe, Russia. 1989, everything changed. Doors flew open. Today, we distribute Bibles in those same countries by request, by the truckload. In fact, I'm going to show you some numbers. You may have to brace yourself in just a minute, okay? You really, truly may have to grab the pew. God is moving and working in nations a lot of us never thought was possible. And among people that a lot of us thought were unreachable. I've heard all my ministry career in preaching in youth ministry for 30-plus years, I heard over and over and over again in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, man, Eastern Europe, well, that's the tough, tough soil. Brothers and sisters, that is not true anymore. And God is moving in spectacular ways. Now, the reason we're distributing Bibles is because they don't have Bibles. You know, Lenin, Stalin, all of those, when the communists took over a country, one of the first strategies was to confiscate Bibles door to door, confiscating Bibles, removing Bibles, burning Bibles in the town square, arresting preachers, etc., imprisoning, to remove religion and the Bible from society, and they were very successful at doing so. But we had a kind of a stark reminder. It's hard for us to imagine America. It's hard for us to imagine countries without Bibles. Because, you know, how many do you have at your house? How many are in this building? At every bookstore, the Walmart, Bibles. Not so in Eastern Europe. We recently were reminded of that. One of our guys in Europe that works for us part-time is this guy here on the right, Dimitrios and his wife. Dimitrios is one of several regional directors, and he covers an area. He lives in Athens, right here in Athens, and he covers Albania, Macedonia, and Bulgaria, and he lets people know in those countries who we are and what we do. Well, he found a little church in Bulgaria, and he was asked to preach at that church, and he walks in, and he stands up, and he says, okay, I want to begin my sermon today. Everybody turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. And everybody got up and walked out the back. And he thought, okay, they didn't like 1 Corinthians 13, I guess. But it hit him what was going on. They had one Bible. It was in the foyer. and they all gathered around and huddled around to see 1 Corinthians 13. Nobody had a Bible at home. No other Bibles in the building. No Bibles in the city, in the library. It said that's the one Bible they had, and they revered that. And Demetrios promised them. He said, I promise you, this will not happen again. He's already been back, and all of them have Bibles in their language, and he brought an extra 50 just in case they needed to pass out a few extras. That's what we do. We get Bibles to people that don't have Bibles and want them. Summarized in another way, EEM distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in Eastern Europe and now beyond, which you will see tonight. God is stretching us and challenging us. Eastern Europe and beyond to anyone who requests, free to all. This is what we do. This is what we've done for 57 years. God willing, this is what we will continue to do. And the reason we do this is because we believe in the power of the double-edged sword of the Word of God. We believe in the power of the seed, which is the Word of God. And we believe not only because we read about it in our Bibles, but because we've seen it. We've seen this power on display over and over again, and you are going to see that power on display tonight. Okay, I'm going to show you some numbers now, okay? Here's the numbers. You grab in the pew, you better hang on. Here we go. These are EEM's total distribution numbers since 2008. Total number of Bibles and Bible-based books distributed in each year. In 2008, we distributed 67,872 total Bibles and books. After the Berlin Wall fell and communism fell in 89, this was a fairly average year for us, 60, 70, 80,000 per year. But in 2009, we had a bit of a jump. We distributed over 293,000. One of the main reasons for that is Bibles in public schools in Ukraine. First year was 2009, which we'll talk about in just a minute. 2010, we were down a bit. 2011, back up. 12 up, 13 back down a little bit. And then in 2014, boom. Almost a half a million Bibles and books. 2015, down a bit. And then in 2016, nearly 750,000. 53% more than our previous record year, and if you'll notice, more than 10 times 2008. A record year until last year. And last year, EEM distributed 1,184,902 Bibles and books in 30 countries and 22 different languages. See, my purpose tonight, my purpose is not for you to leave here saying, wow, EEM, what a great organization. Not my purpose. My purpose is for you to leave here tonight saying, wow, what a great God we serve. This is not because EEM is so great. This is God. This is God moving and working among people who are ready and hungry for the Word of God. And the news is spreading. Everywhere you see a pen, EEM's distributing Bible in that country. 30 nations. Here's a list of those 30. The ones in bold print, we're distributing Bibles into those nations this year for the first time ever. Azerbaijan? Hello? What? Eastern Europe? See, that's why I said a while ago, God is stretching us. Azerbaijan borders Romania and Ukraine, and the word is getting out, so we're distributing Bibles in Azerbaijan, which is really not Eastern Europe, that's Asia. Belarus, first time. Georgia, no, not that Georgia, the one over there, right? That Georgia. Kazakhstan, that's Asia. We'll see that in just a minute. Kosovo, wish I had time to tell you that story. Montenegro, Slovakia, and Slovenia. These are first time open doors for the Word of God. 30 countries, 22 different languages. God is on the move. And we and our partners have been invited not only to get a front row seat and watch God do what only God can do, but to get in on it. How fun is that? To get in on God doing something absolutely spectacular. Okay, I would like now to, oh, by the way, the population of all these countries together is over 400 million people. So we got a long way to go before we saturate these countries with Bibles. All right, let's go inside these numbers now. Back to Ukraine. I've shared with you the last couple of years. Since 2009, EEM has distributed Bibles into public schools in Ukraine at their request so they can teach Christian values in their public schools using the Bible as a textbook. Hello? Is God amazing or what? We will do 200,000 in Ukraine this year. If you remember just a few years ago, 200,000 was our total distribution everywhere. Now we'll do 200,000 just in Ukraine, mostly into the public schools. And people want to know, how's that whole thing going? Well, I shared with you the last couple of years, we've distributed Bibles at the end of last year into a little over half of all the public schools in the nation of Ukraine, 2.3 million Bibles and books. We still have a little less than half to go. In every region that has the Bibles and they're teaching Christian values, academic performance test scores are up and discipline problems are down. I know, that's a shocker. But isn't that awesome? There's tangible, measurable data proving the power of the Word of God to change a student's heart. Now, all the way to the highest levels of government, they are 100% on board with this initiative. I got to go over there in June, and we got to attend, we were invited to attend the National Bible Olympics. Now, I apologize for the quality of the picture. I just took this like over my shoulder with my phone. I just wanted to get an idea of the number of students. There were about 250 students at the National Bible Olympics in Ostrow, Ukraine. You guys familiar with LTC here? This is very, very similar to LTC. It's a sweet, friendly little Bible competition. The students take a test over Bible knowledge, and then they do a five-minute teaching presentation, a teaching. They pick a Bible story and do a teaching presentation. 5 minutes. We got to go in the room with this little one, first grade, doing a five-minute Bible teaching on the story of David and Goliath. How perfect for her to be doing a story on David and Goliath. At least that's what they told me she was teaching. I have no idea what she said. But I promise you this, she was owning the room. She was large and in charge. So eloquent, so passionate. What we found out was this national competition, these 250 students represented the winners of 20 regional competitions held all over the country, each of which had between 400 and 600 students involved, and this is just for grades 1 through 4. There are two other major competitions for grades 5 through 8 and for high school. Bottom line, tens of thousands of students, parents, teachers, reading, studying, teaching the Bible, and all of this is coming out of the public schools. And EEM is providing all the Bibles. And you guys are a part of that. Our director of Ukrainian operations, Dasha Novikova, the line on her interview with us last fall, she said, "Thank you for changing the future of my country." And you guys are a part of that. Beautiful day we got to spend with these students. Okay, continuing with these numbers, We're back in Poland in a big way, 11,000 Bibles in Poland this year, just highlighting some of the different countries. We'll do 100,000 books and Bibles in Romania this year. And most of those are going into public schools in a little region of Romania called Transylvania. I've been practicing on that. Was that pretty good? Okay, not bad. Okay. Is that great? God's putting Bibles in public schools in Transylvania. And by the way, our distribution arm in that area is the Red Cross. Think about that for a minute. Transylvania is the home of Dracula. The Red Cross, one of the big reasons they're called the Red Cross is because one of the big things they do is people giving. I just think it's kind of fun that God said, Gabriel, Michael, come over here. I'm putting Bibles in public schools in Transylvania using the Red Cross. And they're going, nah. And he's going, watch. And that's happening. This is now growing. It's spreading. We'll now do 5 counties in Romania, over 100,000 Bibles and books in Transylvania and Romania this year. Distribution is up for the 3rd year in a row in Russia. We're distributing over 10,000 Bibles in Kazakhstan. I know what you're thinking. Where's that? Well, this is where it is. Come on now. Yeah. There it is. Kazakhstan borders China and Russia. We have an opening there. 3 years ago, you couldn't get a Bible into Kazakhstan. God has opened the door. We'll do over 10,000 this year in Kazakhstan. God is stretching us. How fun is that? And I know why. It's because the battery's out. Okay, next slide, please. You have to help me here. We're distributing Bibles, I already told you, in public schools in Ukraine and Romania, but those are not the only two countries we're putting Bibles in schools. This year we're putting 30,000 Bibles into schools in Croatia. Next, 11,000 in Serbia in schools. Next slide. Those are 4 nations where we're putting Bibles in public schools in the former communist-ruled nations. 3 weeks ago, we found out we're adding a 5th. That is Hungary. And just last Tuesday, you guys are the second audience to hear this, we are now distributing Bibles into schools in Bulgaria as well. 6 countries. And it's growing. It's growing. How awesome is our great God? Okay. Next slide. We are honored and blessed, and so are you now, witnessing nations and people where the first rays of light are shining into countries that have been in the dark for a long, long time. Next slide up, please. Okay, I want to finish with 2 stories this evening. I also shared with you last year that one of the amazing things that God is doing, this is not us, we didn't anticipate this, this is totally God, but God's invited us and you to get in on this. The amazing work that God is doing among churches and ministries reaching out to the Muslim refugees that are flooding into our backyard, Europe. Many have called this the refugee crisis, and I get that. But you need to know there's more to the story than what you're going to hear on the news. I know that's a shocker too. God is at work here. I want to introduce you to Masood. Masood is from Afghanistan. And he and his family, next slide up, this is his family. Wife, daughter, 2 little boys. The boy on the right was born in Greece, not in Afghanistan, after they arrived as refugees. The boy on the left was 6 months old when they left Afghanistan. Now, you may have to Google Afghanistan and how you get from Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, the Aegean Sea, Greece. It's a long ways from Afghanistan. The boy was 6 months old when they left Afghanistan. He was 1 year old when they arrived on the shores of Lesbos, Greek island. Whenever they got on one of those boats, rickety wooden boats, on the west coast of Turkey, crossing a little piece of the Aegean Sea to get to a Greek island, Lesbos, one of the Greek islands, Greece, Europe. They got on that boat. Masoud was holding his one-year-old boy. Let's just say the beach on Lesbos Island doesn't look like Destin, Florida. Smooth and pristine. It's more like Maine, big boulders all over as you're coming into the harbor. It was the middle of the night. The wind was blowing. The wind, a gust of wind, blew the boat onto one of those boulders. The boat just disintegrated. Everyone was thrown into the sea. Masoud lost grip on his son. He surfaces and realizes he's lost grip. He goes back under the water and searches. It's dark in the middle of the night. The water's murky. He surfaces again. He sees his wife and his daughter, and he yells, "I've lost my son. I've lost my son." He yells people to help. He goes back under again, and when he surfaces this time, somebody said, "Look." And on what was left of the bow of that ship on the boulder lay his son. He swims over and picks up his son off the boat, and he's excited that, you know, the boy's not drowned. He's still breathing, but it's cold, he's wet, soaking wet. The boy's starting to turn blue. And then Masoud told us, he said, "At that moment I thought, what have I done? What kind of a father am I? I'm in a foreign land. I don't speak the language. I don't know anybody. It's not like they're going to have a hospital here on the beach." And he said he turned, and approaching him were two Christian nurses. And one of them said, "Give me that boy." And he gave her the boy, and she started to take the wet clothes off. The other one had a warm blanket. They walked onto the beach where a group of Christians had gathered to serve and minister and care for these refugees, to greet them on the shores with food. "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. With a bottle of water, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. With warm, dry clothes, with medical assistance, I was a stranger and you welcomed me." I think that's still in there, isn't it? Yeah. Well, they take the boy into this huge medical tent with doctors and nurses lining the walls, medical supplies. They're checking his vitals, making sure, wrapping him in the warm blanket until he gets some warm, dry clothes on. And in 5 minutes, they're able to give him back to Masoud and tell him, "Your son's going to be fine." And Masoud said, at that moment, he said, "Everything I had been taught all my life just shattered before my eyes." He said, "Because I've been told all my life in Afghanistan, Christians hate you. They're mean, they're corrupt." And I just looked and realized that is not true. And if they lied to me about that, what else have they lied about? This began a journey for Masoud. This was in about 3 years ago, right now, middle of October 2015. In January of 2016, a few months later, Masoud was baptized into Christ and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And today, next slide up. Today, every Tuesday and Thursday night, Masoud leads and teaches a Bible study for Farsi-speaking refugees in Athens, Greece. And every week, there are baptisms coming out of his Bible study. Today, at the Glyphada Church of Christ in Athens, Greece, they will have 6 services. 2 of those will be for Farsi speakers because they can't all fit in one. Muslims are coming to Christ by the droves. Okay, how many times in your life have you heard those words? Go ahead. I know the answer. Go ahead. You can answer. never, because it's never happened. But you've heard it tonight. God is doing something absolutely unprecedented. God is turning the tables on all this evil and hatred and violence and killing and war that Satan has stirred up in all these Middle Eastern nations and driven these people out from behind the walls of oppression. Now they are free to hear and free to ask questions and free to choose. And they are choosing Jesus by the droves. And EEM is honored to provide the Bibles. Over the last 3 years, EEM has provided over 225,000 Bibles in two brand new languages for us, Arabic and Farsi. Okay, that's pretty good, but there's more to this story of Masood. That's him in the blue shirt baptizing somebody else. If tonight, in a little bit, we're going to have an invitation song. If somebody comes forward tonight and says, I want to be baptized into Christ tonight, what physical risk are they taking? Other than maybe Paul holds them a little under a little too long. I don't know. None. Of course not. How about Masood? When Masood said, I want to be baptized, how about him? His brothers in Afghanistan and his father found out about his conversion. They seized his piece of the family farm, the family inheritance, seized it, and they put a price on Masood's head. Masood has been traveling with a security detail for 2.5 years because he's a very visible leader in this new church. Has it slowed him down? No. Okay. 2.5 years this has been going on. Back in June, Masood's father is retired Afghan military. He's an atheist. He hates all religion. So he was not compliant with the Al-Qaeda, et cetera, powers that be. So some things happened, and Masood's parents left Afghanistan, same route, and they came to Greece seeking asylum. Masood found out about this, and he decided to honor his father and mother, and he found out when they were arriving on the shores, the very same shores of Lesbos, he greeted them on the shores. He said, I'm here to honor you as my father and mother, and I want to introduce you to some people who have taken care of and loved my family unconditionally, and they will do the same for you. That's why I'm here. That was 1st of June. About the middle of July, Masood's mother calls him. Every Monday night, this ministry does a Monday night meal. They serve about 400, 500, 600, 700 refugees, free meal, and there's a gospel presentation. She calls Masood middle of July and says, I'd like to come to that Monday night meal, I think. She came. She heard the good news of Jesus Christ for the first time in her life. She came back. She came back. A couple weeks later, she calls Masood and said, I want to come to church with you. She visited church on her third Sunday there, late August, middle of the service. She leans over and whispers in Masood's ear, I believe. And Masood turns to her and he says, okay, are you willing to be baptized as the scriptures teach? She says, yes. So Masood, to honor his father, went to his father and told him what his wife was choosing to do. And he asked, I'm asking for you to give your blessing. Now, Masood's father has been watching all of this from afar. He has seen the change in Masood, his son. He has seen the change in his wife. He has seen these Christians reaching out and loving and caring, serving absolutely unconditionally. And he said, she has my blessing if that's what she wants to do. Next picture up, please. This is one of my favorite pictures I've ever shown at an EM presentation. This is Masood, the little boy he almost lost, having lunch with his mom and dad after her baptism. He baptized his mother into Christ, end of August. Is God amazing or what? Okay, next. Next slide up. One more. Okay, last story, and I'll be done. This is Irfan. Irfan is from Afghanistan as well. He came to Greece, same route. Came to Greece about a year ago, right now, October. He found out about the Monday Night Ministries. He started visiting. Came to visit the church, just like Masood's mother. First week in December last year, he was baptized into Christ. Gave his life to Jesus Christ. First week in December. Right after Christmas, he goes back to the refugee camp where he's confronted by a group of thugs with knives. They've heard about his baptism. You see what I'm saying? People ask me all the time, how's that whole Muslim refugee thing going? I show them this picture. They confronted him and said, you deny Jesus right now or you're going to suffer the consequences. He stood tall and he said, I will never deny my Savior and my Lord. They attacked him, stabbing him many times, leaving him for dead. Thank God somebody heard the commotion, got him to a hospital. He spent 2 weeks in ICU. He spent another 2 weeks in the hospital. This is his second month as a Christian. And first Sunday out of the hospital, where is he? Back in church. I don't know about you. That's a little bit in my face. Huh? Would I be that strong? You want to know how it's going? Could it be, maybe, that the seed of the Word of God that you helped plant has now been sown in good soil, the hearts of people who are hungry for the good news of Jesus, and now starting to sprout and grow in strength and power and beauty? Could it be, you think? And this is what we get to do at EEM. We help sow the seed and then watch God do what only God can do with that seed. You remember those numbers? It's not slowing down. It's not slowing down. We very well could show a decrease from last year, but it won't be because the requests aren't there. I don't like to say that. But it'll be because God outran us. In many ways, the way I view this, God is over there. He's busting down walls. He's opening doors. He's charging through these doors. He's working. He's moving. The soil is good. And then he's turning around. He's looking at us. He's going, hey, I'm working here. Are you coming or not? And we are huffing and puffing trying to keep up. That's why we need really, really good partners like you guys. God's on the move. And we're trying to follow as best we can. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for once again tonight revealing yourself to us, for showing us who you are, your power, your might, your love, your compassion for all people. Father, for showing us your creative genius in finding ways to reach people that a lot of us thought were unreachable. Thank you, Father, for open doors And I pray for continued open doors and that you would give us the faith and the courage and the energy and the resources to charge through those doors as long as they are open. And I pray for this sweet church family, Father, for the Southgate Church of Christ. And my prayer is that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in this place among these people, just like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of encouragement here tonight. Maybe you've come tonight and you've been moved and touched like one of those refugees. You want to be baptized into Jesus Christ tonight. Let this song be your opportunity to come down and let somebody know that. Or if you've come here tonight and you're hurting, you're wrestling, you're struggling, you just need somebody to pray with you, pray for you, let this song be your opportunity to come and let somebody know that as well. You have that kind of need? Please come right now as we stand and sing.